It is time now for History Matters, as always on Thursday afternoons at this time, with the one and only Scott Washington, Hillsboro Town historian and expert on all things history, joining us here in the studio. He's waving his arms like he's not, but we know better, don't we, America?
I'm here in the studio with an equally talented and exceptionally brilliant, not only DJ, but somebody who really knows history well. Aaron Keck. And I, you know, this is a great radio station. I think it rivals the BBC. And I've listened to that. And honestly, it has some of the best provocative commentary and discussions, best interesting people almost anywhere in the nation. I mean, it's an exceptional radio station, second to none. And I think anybody listening to this knows that, too.
Thank you. Y'all, if you're listening out there, the next 20 minutes is just going to be the two of us going back and forth praising each other. So,
well, history is made of this. You know, you look and you say, oh, these, and time and again, and we see this when we look at history, there are exceptional people that rise to the fore at different times. And this station is just populated
Thank you.
The best people, not only in front of the mic, but behind the microphone, making this an exceptional station. And because it's streamed worldwide, it's one of the best on the planet now.
Yes.
So there's no excuse for anyone in the world not to be listening to WCHL, and I wouldn't be surprised if there are. And I know that for a fact. So
love it.
Anyways, but this is a great week. Lots of exciting things happening. Lots of stuff, and like we have said many times, we are sometimes just caught up because the stuff happening in the news is the stuff of history. We know it. You know it as a listener, but we keep being surprised and saying, and the stuff that we pull out that we think this is historical, it has such relevance today. Like one, of course, the terrible shooting, and then the astonishing reaction as students have been engaged across the nation. And this is the week, February 25th, 1836, when Samuel Colt patents his revolver.
Yeah.
And it's a Colt manufacturing company that first manufactures the first AR-15 that leads to many other companies manufacturing similar.
It's the same company.
Yes, that's right. They still are. That's right. So that's a pretty significant development that's in the news about banning it or not banning it. And so that I just think that we see this happening week after week. We find fascinating things that kind of jump out that speak to the headlines here as well.
Absolutely.
There's some, but also there's local stuff. For instance, on February 21st, 1948, is when NASCAR is founded by Bill France. And there is a connection
here. This is a local.
This is a local connection here.
We've got a speedway down
right.
the road.
There's a speedway in Hillsboro, the Okanichi Speedway. It's also not only one of the first, but it's also the last actually remaining dirt track. You can go out there and walk the speedway, and every September, some of the old drivers come out and actually
That's
drive
really
around.
Cool,
it's a little more dangerous now that way, but
you probably shouldn't be walking the track when
kidding.
They're doing that.
I'm kidding.
That.
These people are exceptionally qualified, and it's great to see. But that's a local connection. That's a really, I think, one of the cool things. Now, there's something else that happens here in the Carolinas this week. Same day, the 21st, 1918, the last Carolina parakeet dies. Now, if you said, what Carolina parakeet? Well, they were prevalent all throughout the Carolinas. They were kind of pesky, and they would go to where people planted crops. And so what happened is farmers kept shooting them until they became extinct.
Wow.
Which is a kind of a sad commentary.
And the last one died in a zoo, right?
That's right.
By the time this common bird that was everywhere by the time 1918 rolls around, it's so uncommon that we've got them in zoos. Yeah.
That's right. Unless
in
we
captivity.
Do I haven't seen Steven Spielberg, you know, think of doing some kind of Jurassic Park with the Carolina parakeet, but it would have a limited appeal, but it would certainly be...
It'd be a much more boring, slow, kind of dramatic movie with no action
Unless
whatsoever.
Unless it was a giant parakeet.
Ooh, yes.
Then that might be...
I'm pretty sure Tommy Wiseau's got that project in the works.
Well, you know, we have this week, the Olympics are still going on, and kudos to the women's team for their astonishing victory.
Hockey team,
last night.
Beat Canada.
And there is also, there's other things happened. The game of tennis was patented by its inventor February 23rd, 1874, nice. Great Britain.
Walter Wingfield.
That's right. So I guess they had tennis balls and rackets. What are we going to do with this? And then finally, they figured it out. Yeah. Instead of just throwing it.
They were doing all kinds of weird things with the rackets. And like they had all this equipment and just couldn't figure out what to do with it.
But, you know, Aaron, it's these people like you who are making such a difference. And this week is no exception. We see these astonishing people like Steve Jobs, mm-hmm. Was born on February 24th, 1955, mm-hmm. Son of immigrants, and he's adopted into an American family. And that speaks so much to our headlines we are a place that welcomes refugees mm-hmm. and what a difference they make to the fabric of America and how important that is.
Yeah.
So I think those are kind of, so anything that jumps out of the page. I mean, there's so much here. This is a cornucopia.
There was one first radio stage show in 1922
yes.
on Monday, on February 19th, 1922.
Yes, yes, yes. Isn't that interesting? I thought that too. And I thought, oh, that's one of those kind of things. We, you know, I would say this is the radio shows. There, I mean, Prairie Home Companion is
right,
one of the.
Right. It's really interesting because, like, 1922, you've got this new medium and a world of possibilities for what to do with
yes.
it. What should we do? What's going to catch on with the public? We're trying all kinds of new things. And someone says, let's put on an audio stage play.
Right.
And this really catches on. It becomes
yes, it
a
does.
Huge thing. Yeah.
Well, because radio has that ability to speak to the imagination.
Yes.
And you can paint pictures with words in ways that opens up possibilities, and you can see it as clearly, just like when H.G. Mm-hmm. Wells did his stage play of War of the Worlds. Orson Welles, sorry.
Yeah.
And that was a
case. You can do so much with, like, sound effects and everything, too.
Oh, my gosh, yes, yeah. Do you have one of those kind of boards?
Unfortunately not. We need to. We've got this computer here that has a whole bunch of sound things. I don't know if the slide whistle is the first thing to go.
It might make history more interesting. Boing. Well, those are, if the public
the
demands
Aaron
Keck it.
Show ended forever today after.
We always try to make history fun and fascinating, too. There is also you're thinking, well, yeah, but what relevance does this have to my life? Well, I'll tell you what. There are two things that come up on February 20th. If you have ever used a toothpick or a paper bag, you can thank American inventors Silas Noble and James Cooley.
And you darn well better.
Yeah, that's right. Who invented the toothpick. I don't know. Invented? I mean, what did they? They sat around there and kept whittling and said, what am I going to do with this?
I know. It's like, Jeb, stop picking up sticks
that's
off the
it.
Ground. Let's do something about
well,
this.
Well, on February 20, 1872, they received a patent for the first toothpick manufacturing machine. I always wonder, was it really small?
It must have been. Like one of those little flea circus
that's
things.
Right.
So toothpicks existed.
Yeah.
What they
that's
invented
right,
was
did.
Like an automated machine
right.
to produce
that's
them.
The
okay.
Thing. And then in 1872, same year, same date, is when American inventor Luther Childs Crowell receives a patent for the first machine to make square-bottomed paper bags. Mm-hmm. It must have been a banner day in the patent office.
Yeah.
Hey, what is this? Whoa, this is going to change everything.
Man, we're just killing trees today. Like paper bags and toothpicks
that's
just
right,
knock
yeah,
a
right.
whole forest down.
And now bring your own bag. That's the thing
yes.
That's going on. Now, there's one that came up on February 19th, and this was actually fairly recently, and I thought, why did I never hear of this? 1988... two men begin a horseback journey from the southern tip of South America to the Arctic Circle. Now, get this. It takes them 5.5 years.
Isn't that?
That's pretty amazing. And I thought, why do we not hear about that part?
I mean, navigating customs probably took most of that time, right? Like, do you have anything to declare?
Yeah, trigger.
Two horses. So we don't need sound effects.
Hey, that's right. Okay, well, here's one. Maybe you can answer this. On the same day, February 19th, 1807, former Vice President Aaron Burr is arrested for treason
yes.
against the United States. What is this all about?
Okay, so this has nothing to do with the Hamilton shooting. After
right.
he is...
Or horses journeying somewhere.
Or horses
yeah,
journeying
okay.
anywhere. No, he is sort of disgraced after the Hamilton shooting and leaves his position as Vice President after 1804, I think. And he then kind of disappears. And, I mean, you might be able to fill in some of the gaps on this. He disappears.
Yeah.
He goes out west, and then the story gets a little bit hazy, but he gets arrested, and he's accused of, and there's some pretty decent evidence to suggest that this was in fact the case, going out west and going down to Mexico and trying to recruit an army that he was going to lead on Washington and take over the government and assert himself as president or leader or whatever he had in mind.
Wow.
Really cockamamie conspiracy that
very much so.
May or may not have involved the vice president of the United States.
And it looks like he organized an armed militia of about 60 men. Did
yeah.
he really think that was going to do it?
But hey, I mean,
they don't really know what the purpose was of this that he was setting out, or maybe it was to
I think it was just power. Like, he was, I mean, super ambitious guy, and he had almost become president in 1801.
Right.
He had been vice president. He was right there on the cusp, and then everything kind of collapses, and then it just, like, keeps falling off the cliff as far as the rest of his life goes.
Isn't it interesting where we see in history that people rise up? In this case, Hamilton becomes his arch nemesis,
mm-hmm.
and becomes a major factor in blocking him from acquiring the presidency. And you wonder about,
mm-hmm.
you know, given his tendencies that's revealed here and also shooting Hamilton,
yeah.
like, what would have changed?
Oh, yeah.
And I think he got his number,
yeah.
Hamilton did. And
I mean, Hamilton and a few other people, but Hamilton in particular,
yes.
that were very, very anti-Burr, because the guy was mentally unstable.
Right.
He was untrustworthy, super ambitious, very, very power hungry, and not at all interested in the limits of power.
Yeah.
God, heaven forbid we should ever have a president like that.
It's just where you do the slide whistle.
That's when we needed the slide whistle.
Oing,
yeah.
oing. Or, you know, triangle at that point.
Yeah.
But here's one that is it's on the 20th, February 20th. 1962 is when John Glenn
mm-hmm.
Orbits the Earth in Friendship 7. That's also we learn about in the movie Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures, yeah,
I was just going to say. But also, there's another part of this that maybe some of your listeners know, which is that Moorhead Planetarium is the training facility for NASA astronauts for a decade or more, so that they can actually navigate by looking out the window, seeing the stars, so if anything goes wrong, they can navigate. I
yep.
don't know if they had to put up sails at that point or put out oars, but...
Space oars.
Row, man. Yeah. But that really is important. And
I think
really
Tommy Wiseau made that movie, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it does make a real difference. I believe it was Apollo 13.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember that movie with Tom Hanks,
yep, yep.
where he's actually doing that kind of navigation
the
right
celestial
out the window,
navigation,
where
yes.
he does a kind of a random, because they just can't turn on the computers at that point.
Yep.
So it really did make an important difference, and that is a real North Carolina connection. Mm-hmm. Life and Science, of course, right here, right in Durham, has a lot of space memorabilia as well, so if you're in the area, you know, stop in at these places, because mm-hmm. they really do have a connection to great, great history.
And it really is significant how precise that navigation has to
oh,
be, like
yes.
how effective the training has to
oh
be and
gosh.
How good those astronauts have to
yes.
be to take all of that information
right.
in and then be able to turn around in what I imagine was probably a fairly high-stress, high-pressure moment,
yes.
or I guess extremely low-pressure moment, as the case may be, and navigate perfectly based on
yes.
looking out the small window of a spaceship.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, of course, that movie, Hidden Figures, is about the human computers, the women
yep.
Led by African-American women who were the ones who were able to do the computations before there were computers installed to help make sure or to double-check the figures to make sure that the spacecraft would come back safely. And that's just a great legacy to our entire United States and how important it is the people that we have that make a difference.
We got Scott Washington here in the studio, History Matters. Looking back at this week in history, what else we got?
Well, you know, it used to be Woolworths. You know, we have all these other great things. This is on February 22nd, mm-hmm. 1879. Frank Woolworth opens his first store, and all the merchandise was priced at 5 cents. And it failed almost immediately. But what I love is...
Well, that's because 5 cents was a lot in those days.
It was a lot. That's right.
Have a little Pop-Tart for 5 cents. It's like, that's highway robbery. Well, what are you talking about?
I can spend it much better. Yeah. But he doesn't stop there. Mm-hmm. He goes ahead and opens another store. And I immediately thought about a person who came through Hillsborough in the Revolutionary War times, not opening a Five and Time store, but Nathaniel Greene, a great American Revolutionary War general, who came through Hillsborough, helped lead armies up into Virginia, and actually helped substantially defeat British forces at the Battle of Guilford County Courthouse in 1781. But his motto was great. It was fight, get defeated, rise, fight again. You gotta love a guy like that. Those are the people that make a huge difference. Are time and again people who try something new, whether it's Steve Jobs or Mr. Woolworth or any of the number of people.
And actually, speaking of fight, get defeated, rise, fight again, can't let today go without mentioning it's George Washington's birthday.
Yes, that's right.
Speaking of people who have his reputation for being great generals, lost most of the battles that he fought in, but he knew how to lose and then turn around and come back another day. And when he won battles, they were significant.
Well, you know, there's a great place over in Hillsborough. It's a Mexican restaurant now, but it was a house that George Washington is reputed to stay in. It was up near Danville, and it got moved in 1978 by a great enthusiast of his history, James Freeland, who also built the Daniel Boone Village in Hillsborough. Mm-hmm. And you can still go there today. You can order Mexican food, but it was actually documented in the diary, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Hey, if you're listening out there and you're in Hillsborough, eat there tonight. It's George Washington's birthday.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, I've got a really good one here that is this is on February 25th, 1820. And this was a representative, Walker.
Yeah. Let's let this one be the last one, because this is a fun story.
I thought, okay, we'll come back to that one, because that is so good. But anyways, you can, visit a real place that George Washington stayed at.
Yeah. No, we've actually got to wrap up here in a second.
Oh, okay.
So let's do that one, because we're getting on to the end. But this is a really, really cool story North Carolina history and etymology of words.
Yes.
And it actually clears something up for me, because I've always thought that there was a similarity between these two words, and now I understand.
Well, Representative Felix Walker delivers a rambling speech in Congress. He's a North Carolina representative representing Buncombe County. And he goes on, and people are just saying it's not on the topic of hand. They try to cut him off. He keeps on going. He keeps rambling.
It's amazing this happens in Congress.
Yes. And then people just describe, and trying to describe their frustration, they just say, well, this was just bunk or bunkum. And that's where that term comes from, is actually a North Carolina connection, which is you know, that's an unusual claim to fame, but now we know.
Yep.
Oh, that's just bunk. But I love the quote associated with him. And he said this, apparently, I guess it was Henry Ford, speaking about living in the present, made the oft-quoted statement, history is more or less bunk. Which, you know, of course, we don't believe, because as you can see from this show, or hear from this show, it's more fun than you can imagine.
Henry Ford had a lot of interesting ideas
that we
don't have to hang on to.
Well, I just don't think he wanted to do, shoe the horses. Let's invent something that we don't have to do that.
There you go. History matters. So once again, as always, Scott Washington,
always
it has
fun.
Been a pleasure.
Great. Thank you, Aaron, as always.